Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Amen, amen. Why don't you have a seat? Good morning. Welcome to Wellspring. If you're a guest, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the pastor here. And today we are beginning a brand new series we're very excited about called Family Circus. Yes. And I know some of you are wondering, what does a family have to do with a circus? And I would ask, do you have a family? When's the last time you've been to a circus? Maybe you saw a circus on TV. I mean, to me, it's like, it just screams family. I mean, you go to a circus, you're not really sure what's going on. People pop out of places you didn't expect. They fit more people in cars you thought humanly possible. The smell is, well, it's a circus. Sounds a lot like family to me. Now, I know for some of you, most of you, you came, you had no idea what we were talking about. You just came because it was a mystery series. We're really excited that you were here. And so let me go ahead and explain to you why we want to talk about family for the next several weeks. And the reason we're talking about family is because we believe family is really a universal topic. Everyone in this room either is in a family, wants a family, is recovering from a family, or believes that one day they're going to do better when they're in charge of their family. Now, family is even bigger and broader than biological and legal ties. Many people find family at work. They find family in their neighborhood. They find family around different hobbies. And so this is a universal topic. If you have any interest ever in life at bringing a group of people together to unify around an idea and move in a certain direction, you're trying to make a family happen. And what you're going to discover is it is chaotic. It is difficult. It can sometimes be a little crazy. Parents, really, we get this. We understand this a great deal. You know, you bring the little clowns home from the hospital, and the first thing they do is they spray you in the face with water. Then you know, they turn into little monkeys, and they start swinging from here to there. Then they turn to elephants, and they stampede through your entire house. Next thing you know, you are walking that high wire act of raising teenagers in front of an audience with a spotlight, grandparents. And so we get it. We understand, we as a church, we understand what it's like to want a family, what it's like to be in a family, what it's like to be recovering from a family. We understand, and we want you to know, we are here to help you. We are here to partner with you. And so what we want to do for the next several weeks is just stop down and do some conversations and some helps about family. Because our goal is for rather than do you just survive, we want you to thrive in what we're calling the greatest show on earth. Now, what we plan to do for the next several weeks is we kind of plan to run two dual tracks as we go through this content, as we go through this series. The first track you come to expect from Wellspring Church, we're going to talk about practical principles. That's what we're going to do here in this room. Shouldn't surprise you, you're at church. We believe that God is the author of family. He's the creator of family. We believe he has lots of ideas about family, that his way is the best way for family. So we're going to spend a lot of time in this room giving you just some practical principles from God about how to get the absolute best and most out of your family. You understand that? I understand that. But it can't stop there. Because you've read books before, I've read books, we've all heard these ideas. There's only so much that practical principles can help. Sometimes, you know, you hear somebody say, this is how you should do it, and then they leave. Well, we don't want to do that. And so in conjunction with the practical principles, what we're offering as a church is we want to offer personal partnerships. And we really do mean that. We want to create an environment, and we want to come alongside you, whatever stage of your family, whatever it's in, wherever you are, and we want to walk with you. We want to partner with you as you begin to put these principles into action. In fact, some of you know this, many of you probably don't. We have an entire department at our church that we call Family Ministries. And the entire goal of that department is to partner with parents to help lead your children and our children and everybody's children, and help lead everyone's families to where we believe God wants them to go. And so while we will be presenting a bunch of practical principles in this room, know that as your church, and if this is your very first time, man, we're so glad you're here. And this offer is available for you as well. We want to be your church. We are thrilled that you're here. And what it means to be your church means we come along beside you. We champion what you're championing, and we want to do everything in our can to equip you, to encourage you, to train you, to make you feel good about whatever it is God is doing in your family, and help us all go to the place that we believe God wants us to be. So we're going to have practical principles in here. We invite you. We invite you to receive those practical principles in here, but we also invite you to join us as we invest in you through personal partnerships. We're going to have specific classes for different ages and for different stages of family. We're going to have opportunities for you to connect with people who are at the same stage as you. We're going to have opportunities for you to learn from people who are a little further along in the journey than you are. We're going to have opportunities for you to invest in your marriage. We're going to have opportunities for you to invest if you're in a dating relationship. We really want to come alongside you and help as we go through this thing together. And one of the reasons we do that is because one of our core values as a church is that we believe that circles are better than rows. You're in a row right now. We love rows. We put so much time and effort into rows, and we want to teach you things. But we also want to give you an opportunity to get into circles, to get into groups, to get into to make some friends, because we believe that the lessons are going to last longer, your life change is going to be more effective, and you're going to go further faster if you are surrounded by people who are trying to do the same thing that you are doing. So as for the course of this series, practical principles, personal partnerships, because we truly want every person in this room, whether if you're at the very beginning and you're just starting to build your circus, you're just putting your circus together. Maybe you're right in the middle, your circus is going strong and you're not sure what's going on, or maybe you're at the end and your circus left town years ago. Wherever you are in your journey, we are with you. And wherever you are in your journey, here's what we know. We know that the most important decision you can make about that journey is a decision that you can make today. And it is a decision that has more influence over the success or failure of your family, however you define that, than any other decision you can make. And so our goal today as we begin this journey together is to simply talk about this one decision. Just this one decision that I'm going to hopefully convince you to make and then give you an opportunity to make at the end of our time here today. And then I'm going to invite you to come back over the next several weeks as we just really break down all these principles and give you all these opportunities to partner together so that we can all achieve what we all want, which is just great, happy, thriving families. Now, to help you understand the decision I want to talk about today, I want to go back to this idea of a circus. You've probably been to a circus before. If you've ever been to a circus, you've probably seen one on television. When you go to a circus, it feels chaotic, right? It feels crazy. There's all this stuff going on, and it's very easy when you're at the circus to just think, they don't know what they're doing. This is chaos. But if you actually begin to study a circus, what you find out is it's not chaotic at all. It is a highly choreographed show. It's a performance. And they are very skilled performers. They've practiced for years, sometimes decades, to perfect their craft. Everything's happening on purpose. And if you've ever been to a circus, you know that there's one key to getting the most out of that circus, to being able to truly understand what's going on. And the key is to focus on the ringleader or the ringmaster, whatever you call it. Now, maybe you're not familiar with a circus, but here's what a ringleader does at the circus. Here's what they do. The ringleader, this is the man or woman who kind of hosts the show. They introduce the various acts in a circus, and they guide the audience through the experience, directing their attention to the various areas of the circus and helping to link the acts together. So again, think back to when you went to a circus. A man or a woman came out, they introduced themselves, and they kind of hosted the thing, and they would tell you to look over here, and they would tell you to look over here. They would kind of explain what was going on. In essence, what the ringleader does, their job, what they are, is they're the guide to getting the most out of the experience. Now, when you go to a circus, you focus on the ringleader. You listen to them. You know, what you don't do is you don't get your phone out and start Googling things, and then you're asking your neighbor, what's going on? What happened? And somebody behind you says, put your phone down and listen. Nah, I would never say that, but the person behind you said it. But we don't do that, right? Because we inherently understand. If I want any hope of understanding what's going on, if I want any hope of enjoying this thing, any hope of figuring all this out, I got to listen to that person. Because that person knows what's going on. They know what's coming before. They know what's coming after. And it's their job to guide me through the experience. It's their job to set things up. Sometimes it's their job to bring me over to this side of the stage and talk to me while they're setting some stuff over there. They kind of direct our attention. But the ringleader is in charge. No one would go to the circus. No one would go to the circus and just ignore the ringleader. No one would go to the circus and just decide, you know what? I'm not going to listen to that person. I don't care what she says. I want to watch the trapeze. So I'm just going to look up at the trapeze the whole time. There's nobody on there, but I'm going to look up at him because that's what I came to see. No one would do that. We all inherently understand that if you want to get the most out of that experience, you have to surrender your mind and your time. You have to surrender to the host. You have to surrender to the ringleader and let them guide you through the circus, guide you through the experience. It's so common. It's so simple. You've never even thought about it. You just do it. Now, I bring that up because I think it has a direct correlation to our families. And I think there is one critical, crucial question that we all need to begin to answer today. Because the answer to this question will determine everything else we're going to talk about and everything else we're ever going to want for our families, our past families, our future families. All of it hinges on one simple question. If you look back in regret at some decisions at a past family you're trying to recover, maybe you're deciding you want to do better the next time, I would be willing to bet anything I have that if you answer this question properly, things will get better. Here's a question. Who is the ringleader of your family's circus? Who calls the shots? Who steers the ship? Who is in charge? And I see some spouses looking at each other. And the husbands are sort of like, I am. And the wives are like, whatever, dear. I just saw it. It happened last service and it happens this service. It's so funny. But who is the ringleader of your family's circus? Now, again, I'm not going to try to pretend. We're at church, okay? I think you know who I'm going to say should be the leader. And if you're so new to church that you don't really know what I'm going to say, let me go ahead and tell you. We believe Jesus should be the leader. We believe he should be the leader of your life, and we believe he should be the leader of your family. And you may ask, well, now, why does Jesus get this role? And very simply, it's because we believe that Jesus loved us so much that he gave up his life to save ours. We believe that Jesus was so powerful that after he did that, after he died, he came back to life as a picture to us of how powerful he is. And we also believe that because Jesus is God himself, that he knows everything. He knows the future. He knows the past. So what we believe is that Jesus is an all-loving, all-powerful, all-knowing God who wants a relationship with us so that he can guide us into the best life possible. All-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful, wants to help us. So what we believe is the most reasonable, rational response any human being could have to that is to say, okay, we're in. You're in charge. We would love to follow you. And this is something that we believe we are called to do in every single area of our lives. There should be no areas we hold back, no areas we say, you know what, Jesus, I got this, because everything's going to be better if he is in charge. And when you read about his life, you read about his three-year ministry, and then you read about the spread of the early church, and you read about these guys who helped him start the early church and who would start these new churches, and they would write training manuals to those churches to give them instructions on how to follow Jesus. We call this the New Testament. It tells the story of the spread. It tells first, the first four books are the biographies of Jesus' life. Then we have the book of Acts, which is a history of the early church. And then it's a bunch of training manuals written by men that we believe were speaking on God's behalf that tell Christians how to follow Jesus and how to surrender every single area of our life to him. And in one of those letters written by this guy named Paul to the church at Ephesus, he talks about family. The book of Ephesians is a really great book because Paul wrote it to this church in Ephesus, but the goal was he was going to write it to them and they were going to spread it around to all the other churches. It was sort of just like this little summary of what Jesus did, what it meant to be a Christian, and then how our lives should reflect it. And so Paul talks about how we surrender our marriages to Jesus, how we surrender our work to Jesus, how we surrender all these different areas, and we put him in charge. And then in chapter 6, he talks about family. And he talks about family in a way that is so simple. It's only one verse, but the way he puts it just radically shifts the way, hopefully today, that you think about family. And I think about family specifically if you are in charge of your family, or if you have people under you, and if you're leading people and you're kind of trying to teach other people. If you're a parent today, or if you're an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent, if you're a friend today who in any way is trying to invest in the next generation and trying to help them be better and achieve more, this message is for us. Because what Paul really asks, the question we're asking, he's saying, who's the ringleader of your family circus? Who's in charge? Because what Paul points out is, until we figure out who's in charge and until we get that right, everything else is going to tend to go wrong. Now, to help you understand why I would say that, I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, if you have your Bibles, you can open them. If not, it's going to be up here on the screen. But in Ephesians 6, chapter 4, it's only one verse. Here's what Paul says. He begins by addressing fathers. Now, he says fathers, but that means parents. He says fathers, but that means grandparents. That means aunts and uncles. That means close friends. That means coaches. That means bosses. That means leaders. That means any of you who are taking it upon yourself to in any way provide leadership to people under you, to people younger than you, to people who aren't where you are. He's talking to all of us. He says fathers, but he means all of us. And here's what he says. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Now, I didn't know Paul had teenagers, but he does. And so I guess you've done that too. You can provoke them to anger. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Now, I think this is very interesting because Paul is just going right in and hammering on something that every parent in the room has experienced. There are times, there are seasons that nothing our kids have done simply because of us, that by the way we treat them, by the way we lead them, by the way we try to parent them, we provoke them to frustration. We provoke them to anger. And because I know where Paul's going in this verse, I know what he's actually trying to say. And what he's really trying to say is, don't think of the word as provoke. Replace that word with push. And I don't mean physically. But think about it, parents. We inherently understand that we're in charge of our children, and that it's our job to protect them, it's our job to keep them safe, it's our job to steer them in the right direction, it's our job to steer them towards the right things, even as I'm saying it, it's our job to push them. And most of us, from time to time, that's how we parent. We parent as we're pushing. We see where they should go, and they're not going, and so we push them that way, and we try to push them. Now, there is an inherent problem in pushing. And the inherent problem is pushing is that you make yourself the center of the relationship. You make yourself the person calling the shots. And so when you get behind your children and you're trying to push them somewhere, all the power is coming from you, all the directions coming from you, all the instructions coming from you. You can't even see them. You can't make eye contact with them. You're not really talking with them. You're just kind of pushing them in a direction. And again, maybe I'm the only one who's figured out that usually doesn't work. That's how you get attitudes, and that's how you get teenagers going, come on, Dad, go. Terry's so stupid, go. What's wrong with you, go? I'm like, are you speaking English? What was that? What just happened? But Paul just hammers right into it. He says, hey, leaders, hey, adults, hey, parents, don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Don't push them. Instead, he says, do this. He says, rather, bring them up. In other words, pull them towards you. Lead from the front. Bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. He said, hey, this whole idea of getting behind them and trying to push, it's not going to work, and it shouldn't work because that's not even the way our Heavenly Father does it. If you want to make Jesus the leader of your life, what you're going to understand is Jesus' leadership is a call to follow. You know what you can't follow? Someone who is constantly pushing you. Jesus never pushes. Jesus pulls. He leads out front. And he says, I am all loving and I am all knowing and I am all powerful. And I invite you to follow me. I invite you to come with me. I'm going to guide you into the best life possible. And so what Paul is saying to us parents in the room is he's saying, hey, what if you surrendered your life to Jesus? And what if you allowed him to lead you? And what if, as you followed him, as you surrendered more to him, as you became more like him, that you take the same approach that he's pouring out on you, and you turn around and you pour that out on your family? And you choose love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, and that you lead your family. Paul's saying, I think that might work better. But it only works if you allow Jesus to be the leader of your life. And if you're constantly finding yourself in tension with your family and you're constantly at odds and there's a lot of frustration and there's a lot of anger, it might be because you've put yourself at the center, you've made yourself the leader, and you're doing a lot of pushing. And that's not the way our Heavenly Father leads. And that's not the way your family is going to succeed. To help you understand why I would say that, I have a little picture for you. I have a little illustration for you. And I've asked my son to help. This is David.
Hello.
Say hello, David. Now, everyone, this is a wagon. Everyone understands a wagon, all right? And this is what we typically do. We're trying to steer a wagon from behind. Have you ever tried to steer a wagon from behind? It doesn't work. Watch. All right. Hey, go right.
I can't.
Okay, all right, buddy. I need go right.
Hey, Dad, I can't go right.
Dude, okay.
Father,
you're not listening.
You are provoking me to anger.
Okay, right. Or you do this.
This is fun.
Yeah. And see, here's the thing. It's an invitation. Is as you in your life has eyes forward and you're following Jesus, and he's leading you, you then begin to lead your family. And you lead your family, and you can check on them, and they can enjoy themselves. And then, hopefully, what happens, because we don't want to be pulling a wagon forever, get out. hopefully what happens is as you follow Jesus and as you leave a path worth following, what you'll find is that they continue to follow. And they continue to walk along with you. And they have opportunities, if they're older kids, to help the younger kids who are still in the wagon. And they walk along with you. And then, hopefully, God willing, you have the most glorious day of all where you hand the wagon over.
And thank
hopefully,
you, Father.
Hold on. Hopefully you've done such a good job that you get to watch as they follow Jesus out of your house and into their own wagon.
Goodbye.
Thank you, buddy. Be honest. Don't raise your hand. Be honest. How many of you are trying to push a wagon from behind? It's not going to work. It shouldn't work because it's not the best. But we have the best. The best has been offered to us. The best has been made available to us. But it's not available until we answer this one simple, fundamental question. And it's this: who is the ringleader of your family circus? Who is the leader? Who are you following? Who do you want your family to follow? Who do you want your children to follow? What path do you want to leave behind? I mean, let's be honest. Isn't that really all we want? To live a life that our kids, that our grandkids are proud of, and that they want to follow. to leave that legacy behind. To leave a legacy that other people can look at and say, yes, that's a life worth living. That's a life worth following. It's what we all want deep inside, but we miss the fundamental truth of how to get it. So let me spell it out for you. Your family's leader determines your family's legacy. It's the leader who is in charge because they are leading the path. They are paving the way. And our gracious, loving God of the universe steps into that moment and invites you to follow him and say, hey, I'm here. I would love to be in charge. And in case you've missed some of my credentials, let me repeat them one more time. I loved you so much, I gave my life for you. I was so powerful, I came back to life. And oh, by the way, I know the future. I am an all-loving, all-powerful, future-knowing guy who wants to be in your life, who wants to guide you, who wants to help you avoid some of the landmines maybe you experienced growing up, who wants to help you maybe not repeat some of the mistakes of the past, maybe not repeat some of the mistakes of your friends and your family and your neighbors and your coworkers. I want to help you achieve better. And I am here, and I am willing, and I am ready, and I am able. You just have to follow me. Now, I know for some of you in the room, you're sitting there thinking, been there, done that, Trey. I made that decision. I follow Jesus. This is all good. And to you, I would say, not so fast. Because following Jesus is not a one-and-done decision. Now, for some of you in the room today, you've never made the decision at all. Maybe you don't believe in Jesus. You don't believe in God. You're not sure about church. Our hope today is that you would change your mind about that and that you would begin a relationship with Jesus today. But I know in the church this size, we've been doing the song, it's super easy for some people in the room to just kind of turn off right now. You've been in church a long time. You got this. You got this. Follow Jesus. Got it. Okay, when can we go home? I understand that. But let me caution you on that. Let me push back on that. Because following Jesus is not a one-and-done decision. I made the one-and-done decision to follow Jesus almost 25 years ago. But I decide who the leader of my life is every single day. Every moment of every day. I decide every morning who I'm going to serve. I decide every morning who I'm going to follow. I decide every time something comes up that is in conflict with what Jesus wants. I decide multiple times a day who's the leader, who's in charge. And I'm telling you, when you begin to embrace this idea that your family's leader determines your family's legacy, it's not the leader that you decided one time 20 years ago. It's the leader that you decide to follow every single moment of every single day with every single decision you make about every single aspect of your life. And that includes your family. Because see, here's what I know. I know for some of you, you've never made the decision to follow Jesus. And I hope you'll change your mind today. I know for others of us in the room, we made that decision, but there are certain areas where we choose not to follow him every single day. There are certain areas where we've decided, well, I know more than him about that. Well, you know what? My friends are right. That's an area I'm not going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow my friends. I'm going to follow my family on this one. I'm going to do this instead of that. I'm going to do this. And guys, I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to bring you into reality here. We're talking about family. We're talking about life and death stuff here. We're talking about consequences. And I just want you to hear me say it as clear as I can. This is a moment by moment, everyday decision. And if you really want to live a life worth following, if you really want to leave a legacy that your kids and your grandkids want to follow and want to aspire to, you got to decide who's the leader of your family every single moment of every single day. Now, to help you understand what that really looks like, I want to turn really quickly to an episode from Jesus' life, because this happened while Jesus was on the earth. He had started his ministry, and he was healing people, and where we find the story today in John chapter 6, he had just fed 15,000 people with a little lunch. He had just walked on water. He was healing people left and right. I mean, he had followers coming out of the woodworks. They were like, Jesus is the best. Jesus will follow you forever. We'll do whatever you want us to do. We're in, Jesus. You got us. You're the man. And so in John chapter 6, Jesus begins to assert some leadership over his followers. And he begins to say some things they don't like. He begins to say some things that they find difficult to understand. He begins to say some things that they find uncomfortable. He begins to say some things that are in conflict with maybe what they learned growing up, that are in conflict with what maybe their parents would say or their friends would say. And what happens is they begin to leave Jesus. They begin to desert him. They begin to say, you know what, I'm out. That's not what I signed up for. And make no mistake about it, if you decide today that you want to follow Jesus with your life and that you want to make him the leader of your family, it will not take long before you begin to run into conflict. You will find conflict with some of your friends. You will find conflict with some of your family members. You will find conflict with some of your neighbors and coworkers. You will find conflict at school. You will find conflict with your children's sports teams. You will find conflict with some of their coaches. There will be a conflict. And in those moments, you will have to decide, not now, but then, who is the leader of your family's circus? Because your family's leader determines your family's legacy. And we've seen it from the very beginning of time with Jesus, from the very beginning of his ministry, that the second he started saying things that people found a little difficult, a little hard, a little outside of the norm, they bailed. They abandoned him. And so all I'm trying to do is to prepare you for what's coming and to encourage you not to do that. To encourage you to stay the course, because Jesus is still all-loving, all-powerful, all-knowing, and he wants to make your life better. And if your life was already perfect, you wouldn't need him. So if he begins speaking into your life and telling you there's some areas you might need to change, what you need to do is look at your life and say, am I happy with the results now? If the answer is yes, don't change anything. But if the answer is no, my hope is that we can have the response Jesus' closest followers had. So real quick, I want to take you to John chapter 6, because here's what happened. John chapter 6, verse 66, at this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Jesus is saying things that they weren't ready for, and then Jesus turned to the 12, his closest, and said, are you also going to leave? Make no mistake, if you choose to follow Jesus, you will have a moment where he will look at you and say, are you also going to leave? When you find what he says in conflict with someone close in your life, when he says is in conflict with one of your children's coaches, when he says is in conflict with your boss, and you're going to have to make the choice, are we also going to leave? Are we going to abandon what this guy says we should do and follow everyone else? And my prayer is that you can respond the same way the 12 responded. These were Jesus' closest followers. They knew him the best. They had seen him do these things. They knew what was happening. And listen to their response. Simon Peter, he was one of the 12. He was kind of the loud mouth of the group. Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. You know what he's saying? He's saying, leave. Where would we go to find anyone as loving as you? Where would we go to find anyone as powerful as you? Where would we go to find anyone as all-knowing as you? You're God and I'm not. So when we disagree, I'm going with you because I've decided that you are going to be the leader of my life, and I made that decision because you're all loving, you're all knowing, and you're all powerful. And I have the humility to understand I don't know everything. You do. So I will follow you. And yes, in just a moment, I'm going to give folks in the room a chance who have never made that decision before to make that decision today to change their minds. But I am hoping and praying that every single family in this room, every single family watching online, understands that this is a message to you. If you have been a Christian for 30 years, this is a message to you. Because we all have places. We all have moments. We all have little compartments in our life where we have slowly but surely taken back control. Where we have decided we are smarter than God. And this is just my goal today is just to bring that all to the light. And to present to you what that actually looks like. Because as you're taking leadership back, as you're taking back in those areas, if you find yourself provoking your children to anger a little more, or provoking your spouse to anger, or your neighbors, or your friends, whatever, it might be that as you took that leadership back, you started pushing instead of being pulled by the God of the universe. And it simply might just be that's an area you need to relinquish control. And you need to give God back control. You need to allow him to pull you in that area like he is in every other area of your life. And I say this because, guys, why would you settle for anything less than God's absolute best for your life and for your family? Our goal is not for you to survive. Our goal is for you to thrive. And the key to thriving comes down to the way you answer this one simple question. Who is the ringleader of your family circus? Who's the leader of all of it? All the time. And if you needed to be reminded why it's so important, this is why. It's because your family's leader determines your family's legacy. Now, for some of you in the room, I know you just need to pray and you need to talk to God and you need to relinquish control of some areas. When we dismiss, our prayer team's going to be down front. They would love to pray with you as well. But for others of you, I know this may be your first time in church, your first time in church in a while, the first time you've ever heard of Jesus, the first time you've understood why Jesus was here, and you need to begin the relationship. You need to begin the journey with Jesus. Before you can do anything about your family or anything else, you need to get this right. You need to establish him as the leader of your life. And if that's you today, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. And so what I ask is for everybody in the room to just bow their heads, everybody in the room to just close their eyes. And if you would say today you're in this room and you would say that Jesus is not the leader of your life, but you would like to change that you would like him to guide you and your family, then I'm going to pray a prayer. And as I say the prayer out loud, I'm going to pray it as a model. And you just think these words. You just pray these words in your heart. You just talk to God in your heart and repeat these words to him. And as you repeat these words to him, I believe that God will reach down from heaven, touch your heart, and begin a relationship with you. So just repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Jesus, I admit that I've sinned. I've done things you didn't want me to do. And I understand that broke our relationship. But Jesus, I believe that you paid the penalty for my mistakes when you died on the cross. And I also believe you proved how powerful you were when you came back to life through the resurrection. And so today, because you're all loving and all powerful and all knowing, I commit to you. I give you control over my life. I ask you to lead me. I ask you to teach me how to surrender everything I have to you. Now, I want you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. But I want you to know, if you just prayed that prayer, we believe that something supernatural just happened, that you just began a relationship with the God of the universe. And as your church, we want to partner with you in that relationship. And so the first thing we ask, again, heads bowed, eyes closed, is that you let us know. And so I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, if you prayed that prayer with me today, I ask you just to raise your hand as high as you can. Just as the first public declaration of what's happened in your heart. Just imagine you're reaching out to God, taking his hand, and asking him to lead you. Ready? One, two, three. Just raise your hand. Just raise them high. Raise them high. Keep them up. Just keep them up. Just reach out to God. just raise your hand in thanks. Raise your hand and ask him to guide you and to lead you. Raise your hand as an example for your family. Raise your hand as an example of where you're headed. Raise it as knowledge of knowing that God's got your back and that he is going to set you free. Just keep them up. Amen, amen. Okay. You can lower your hands. And everybody look up here at me very quickly. If you prayed that prayer with us today and you raised your hand, we are celebrating with you and we have something for you. In the seat back in front of you or underneath your chair is a card. And that card says, I raised my hand. Now what? I'm asking every single person here to raise their hand to take that card, because that card gives you some information about your next steps and all the resources we offer as a church to partner with you as you begin this new journey. This is not the end of a journey. This is the beginning of a new life in Christ. And we want to walk with you in that. It's why we are here. Now, for all of us in the room today, we all have areas where we've taken back leadership. And my prayer as we begin this journey, as we begin this look at what a family can be and what God wants for us, is that we can spend this week just really asking this one fundamental question. Who is the ringleader of my family circus, of your family circus? Because the family's leader determines a family's legacy, and we want your legacy to be one that you are proud of. We want your legacy to be one that your children and your grandchildren want to follow. And that begins by fully and completely and totally relinquishing control to the all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful God of the universe. Our prayer is that you will begin to take that step this week. And then you'll come back next week. And you'll invite everybody you know to come back next week as we continue to look at God's perfect design for this thing we call family. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you for your son. We thank you for his leadership in our lives. We thank you for his guidance. God, I just pray that you will open our hearts to you, open our hearts to him. God, make us aware of the areas you've taken back control. God, may we give everything to you. May we follow you. And may we lead in a way that makes it easy to follow. May we never push. May we always be pulled by the love of your son. We love you. And it's in your son's amazing and holy name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.